I had other dreams and visions, but Katrina, when it was happening, I saw the news on the television,
mm-hmm.
and
that it was coming.
Yeah, and as it was happening, Rudy and David called me from New Orleans. They said, "Mom, it's gonna be a big hurricane. I don't know if we're gonna make it. We don't want to go because the roads are full from here to Thibodaux. And if we pack everything, we're gonna be stuck on the middle of the road in the middle of the hurricane. It's a big one. So we're gonna ride it out." And Rudy said, "Yeah, man, we're gonna stay home."
Oh, brother.
And Rudy said, Rudy told me, yeah, it was, said the storm is so strong. He said, the house is going back and forth, and the house was built by their grandpa, by cypress trees. It's a lot of cypress trees there. He said, the house is cracking, going back and forth, Mom, I don't know if we're gonna make it. And Rudy, my oldest one, he sounded like he was crying when he told me that, and David too. He said, Mom, we put every pictures and everything in big shopping bags, big bags, and trash bags on the back of the truck. And if we get flooded, we can look for the bags because everything will be dry in there because the house is gonna be destroyed, everything will be destroyed. They were just thinking it's gonna be bad.
I know, I remember.
And I said, oh my God. So I went in the kitchen and lit the two little candles and incense, and I prayed for them and everybody that was in New Orleans with the hurricane. I'll never forget that night. I was up all night long praying. Like whenever you have a problem, you stay up all night. Don't go to sleep at all. Don't go to bed. Just drink coffee or tea. Stay awake and pray. And then the most beautiful thing, when you wake up in the morning when the daylight comes in and you start the first little bird singing, is the most beautiful thing, that you were up all night praying. You'll never forget it. That was always be in your mind, that you were up all night praying. And the next day, you're full of energy. You're not even tired, you know, but the prayer makes you stronger, full of energy. So anyway, what happened is, after that, the next day they called me, they were okay and everything. And then I saw the news on the television about Katrina. And not knowing me, because I take a log and I write all my dreams down, but I was in a state of shock at when it actually happened. The next day, I saw the people waiting to be rescued. There were people that were sick and people that were hurt, and there was no help coming to them, people on boats. And there were a lot of people, the two photographers, they broke their camera. They didn't want the people in the United States to know what was going on. But people from Japan were here, cameramen. They took the pictures and they showed it, because the United States didn't want them to know what was really happening, you know.
God,
yeah.
That's terrible.
So that happened like that. Anyway, this Oriental cameraman took pictures of the people in the water, and the snakes and the alligators,
yeah,
and they were, that's the way it was.
That's the reality.
Like David said, Mom, what you see on the news is nothing comparing to what's going on really right now. He said, what's going on right now, Mom, they don't even put it on television, but this guy from Japan, whatever, he came and took pictures. And anyway, I saw the people waiting, and I was with my patient Esther in the wheelchair.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were in the big dome, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where people were evacuated.
Mm-hmm.
I was there with Esther. And And this black man, because it happened like in Ward 9 and 10 in New Orleans.
Yeah.
There's a lot of black people there. And the black man said, because I had something wrong with Esther's wheelchair. The man said, "Don't worry, lady, I'll fix the wheelchair." And on the other side, I heard people crying for help. And it was dark in there, and I could hear water dripping, dripping, dripping. I look up. It's a great, great big dome. And I went outside, and they had two or three big barrels. And I went outside with Esther, and they had two black ladies and taking clothes out of a barrel and shoes. And I told a lady, oh, I said, I'm going to take a pair. And she said, "You take two." I said, "Okay, because I'm going to do a lot of walking." So I took two pair of shoes from that big barrel, and I had Esther on the wheelchair, and I could see people around calling for help. Some of them were bleeding and crying, and they were afraid, you know. And then when I saw that on the news, I was in shock. I said,
"You remember,
I dreamed that.
You remembered.
I dreamed that." About a week ago, I had written everything down on a dream, and the next day after Katrina, it happened just like my dream, but I already wrote it down. I had wrote it down already. I wrote it down. And I said, "Oh my God, I was there after Katrina."
Oh my God.
Because during Katrina, as it was actually happening, I was here in California praying for Rudy and David and everybody there, see? And we kept calling, but at about 4 o'clock in the morning, the phones died. I said, "Oh my God, the house must have got destroyed or something." But then Rudy said, "That's when they said, Mom, that's when the whole power went off." It was 4 o'clock in the morning is the darkest hour of the night. 4 o'clock in the morning. If ever you have a request, a prayer, you put your alarm and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and say your prayer, because that's the darkest, most powerful hour there is. Just before daybreak. After 5:30, you hear the little birds singing and everything. But 4 o'clock, and I remember that I was that night before that it was happening. I was awake all night. But see, when it happened, and I was with them on the phone, I had forgot that I had written that dream down about a week before.
Yeah.
And when they showed it. And the ladies in the barrels and the shoes and me, Esther, and the doom. I say, "Oh, that's my dream. That's my dream. I dream about it before it happened." But even if I tell people like that, then they say, "Oh, you're crazy. You're insane."
Well, you have the proof right there.
But it happened, you know. It happened. Just, I had wrote it down, my dream, about a week before. Yeah.
When... So it was the day after that you remembered about your dream, or was it like
when I was watching the news after the hurricane was over, and I heard the kids were okay, Rudy and Ricky were okay, and then I saw in the news they were showing the doom and the people. I said, "Hey, I was there," and I look in my dream. That's it. It happened.
Oh,
I was there already.
Weird.
It was the doom because I didn't know what that thing was. And that's where the what they call it, where they escape
the dome.
I
can't remember. There's another name for it, too.
Superdome, something
Superdome,
like Rice
yeah.
Dome, something like Rice, I don't know, Sugar Bowls. So anyway, sugar cane, yeah. Anyway, because they have cane and rice, you know. Yeah, and I'll never forget that. Oh, God.
I remember, I can't remember if I talked to Rudy or not. I can't remember if I talked to you or talked to Rudy, but... I think it was you told me that Rudy said the whole house was coming off of the foundation.
Yeah.
Just like bouncing up and down.
Yeah, yeah. Like, how do you go when a person goes up and down when they're like in a trance?
Levitating?
Yeah, the house was levitating up and down, and finally it settled. Because cypress are very strong wood. And their grandpa built that house. And, of course, Rudy added on and took off and all that, you know. But it's made out of real cypress trees from the swamp in the back. They brought the swamp. They cut the trees down. And then when it had a lot of water, they just roll him up to the ground, you know, on with the water, you know. They didn't drag him, just put it like a boat, you know. Yeah. Then they took it to the sawmill down the road and they sawed the wood, and then grandpa built it, you know, himself. Yeah. Yeah, we had his son-in-laws help him and all, you know. And another dream, I'll tell you.